Dr. Chris Taylor joins us for a court of law, and it's good to be talking with Chris. He's a researcher and has long had mahi at the psychology department at Auckland University as well. He has or is in the midst of research entitled Boys Talk, Working with Boys and Young Men Towards the Prevention of Gender-Based Harassment and Violence through a series of workshop interventions. And today, of course, is White Ribbon Day, an opportunity for us to focus on perhaps many shortcomings that we as Kiwi men have, in the sense that we can sometimes resort to violence where other strategies should be invoked. We are also, I guess, the legacy of previous generations who didn't really talk too much about how they were feeling on the inside. Thanks for joining us on the show today, Chris. Dale Husband here. Mauri ora, kia koe, no mai. Kia koe, Chris.
Kia ora, Dale. Thanks for having me this morning.
Kia ora. Well, hey, White Ribbon Day, we should be talking about this stuff regularly, but it gives us an opportunity to lock in a little bit more. Can you share with our listeners, Chris, some of the gist of your research and the mahi that you've been doing over the years in this space?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that I didn't mention at the beginning is I'm also a researcher for White Ribbon. So on the one hand, I work as a psychology researcher at the University of Auckland, doing research with boys and young men on issues of masculinity. And then on the other hand, I work for White Ribbon as a researcher, helping them collect their stats and stuff. The most recent thing that I've been involved in, as you said, was the workshop model with over 50 boys in the wider Auckland area, trying to get them to speak about issues to do with masculinity, sexism, online communication, and those sorts of issues. And we're really pleased with not only the turnout of the boys and how prepared they were to speak with us, but also with the outcomes in terms of boys getting engaged and using their voices to actually speak critically about masculinity and tell us what it's like for young men today. Because as you said, you know, previous generations perhaps didn't speak as much as they could have, and it's nice to see young men actually standing up and wanting to talk.
Is there has there been an ongoing focus too on the Māori sort of side of this discussion as well? Have you deliberately sourced ethnic viewpoints?
Absolutely, yeah. In our report, we've published a report called Shifting the Line. You can check out the website, shiftingtheline.co.nz. We include a large, the context of what we're trying to do. That report involves a discussion about the longer impacts of colonization on the ways that masculinity has been shaped in this country, but also speaking to boys from various backgrounds as well. I mean, like, we talk to boys in different decile schools, for example, but we also included conversations with school leavers, and so we were really interested in making sure that we got Māori, but also Pacific boys as well.
A lot of our young men are raised in single-parent families. Does this feature at all? Is it an issue?
Sorry, what was that?
A lot of our Māori lads grow up in single-parent families, although there are wider connections, of course. Mm. But does this feature in the stats at all? Has it got anything to do with what might emerge later in life?
Yeah, it wasn't really a focus of this research, of the workshop research. We're really interested in what the boys thought about ways of being men. I mean, that, of course, could be shaped by being from different family makeup, but no, unfortunately we didn't get a chance to look at in that sort of detail.
Why are our domestic violence stats among the worst in the developed world, Chris?
Well, arguably, I mean, I did talk about, you know, there is a legacy of colonization and colonial attitudes, but also more broadly and more importantly, there's a on-running effect of that, which is that we seem to have an adherence to a very strict set of rules of how to be a man in this country. Be tough, be the breadwinner, you know, be in control of others, be in control of yourself and your emotions. And where there has been this attention on masculinity, increasingly around the world, it seems like for some reason here we are a little bit more resistant to that critique. I know that often when I speak about these things, some men tend to get a bit fired up and get a bit mad and say, oh, you know, masculinity is, you know, there's nothing wrong with masculinity. And, you know, to a point, that's fine. But I think we can all agree there are elements of masculinity that need to be changed, and particularly those rigid rules around it, you know, that adherence to particular ways of being men that we can all let go of, and is actually quite a relief to let go of.
The cope up with shifting the line, could you talk with our listeners about that?
Yeah, so we ran a series of workshops over 50 boys in Auckland. The idea of the workshop was originally started off speaking to boys around online communication. There's been a lot of conversation about this issue of sexting or sending nudes, but we wanted to talk more broadly as well to the boys around issues of gender, inequality, sexism, and so on. And so we built in a whole raft of, essentially, we got the boys into groups, and we sat amongst the boys, and we shared kai, and we hung out, and we just allowed them to be the experts in the environment. And the things that they told us were pretty profound. You know, they told us a lot of the struggles that they face in day-to-day lives. They told us a lot about the problems that they might not be able to raise with their peer groups. And they were really responsive, and it was fantastic to be sitting in a group of boys who were speaking so openly and critically. And again, you know, it didn't matter what school they were from, it didn't matter how old they were, it didn't matter. I mean, all of these boys were engaged very, very, were very, very interested in talking about masculinity. And I think that shows a sort of broader interest out there in speaking about these things. We can't just assume that boys aren't interested in challenging injustice and also critiquing their own ideas about gender.
Well, we're all a balance of atoms, aren't we? And so when we talk masculinity, it almost is labelling. Did you talk about femininity, and that we also carry these traits as well? There's a balance, and some a little more than the other. That's okay too, but you know, we talk about masculinity as if that's the men's way, but we all carry traits that are both, don't we?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It was key for us to just try to get the boys to think critically, just about less about kind of, you know, necessarily the positives, and just try to think about the ways that they've been held back from doing things that they would enjoy. So I'll give you an example. The boys fed back to us that they were frustrated that there were particular TV shows that it was perceived that they weren't allowed to watch because they weren't manly shows to watch. There was certain music that they felt like they weren't able to listen to because that was deemed to be too feminine. And so, yeah, there was an element of trying to get them to think more broadly about, yeah, including, you know, what we might identify as feminine traits or whatever. But really the first step was just to get them to open up and get them to speak candidly. Once we started that journey, the boys were very, very responsive.
You say boys, how old were these guys? And we have to look at the wider picture, particularly today, because you know some blokes go crazy, don't they, and whack their partners, and next thing you know,
yeah,
she's in hospital and he's in Cannes. I mean, it's all too familiar, sadly. And while we're looking at young fellas and talking about them here, what about the older guys?
Yeah, absolutely. So the boys were aged between 15 and 19, depending on the group that we were talking about. I've been given some funding from the Whitinga Fellowship Grant administered by the Royal Society that begins next year. The idea is to extend the workshops, and I am quite interested in seeing if we can get men involved. I see no reason why men wouldn't be as responsive as young men and boys. I think that actually, you know, there's a real space out there and a real hunger to talk about these issues. And every time I talk to men about these issues, they light up, they get interested. And I think that that's the key, is to just engage men on their level, speak to them, ask them questions, and just say, what's it like for you? What's going on for you? And men respond very well to that.
Well, we're all united in wanting to lessen the amount of violence that is occurring in our society, and we take no pride in the fact that our stats reflect poorly. But perhaps in generations to come, we will have resolved some of those challenges of an inability to air our emotions, and therefore bottling up those emotions and having them surface in the uncomfortable ways we've witnessed in generations past. With us today, Dr. Chris Taylor. Keep up the neat research, Chris. Let's talk in the new year about whitinga, and we'll stay in touch as you go through that exercise as well. But thanks for sharing some kōrero today about our young guys and also about White Ribbon Day. Ka mihi.
Thank you, Dale.
Thank you.